Welcome to the deep dive. So today we're looking at this reality where a single criminal with just a laptop and a rented commercial drone can breach a financial institution, and they can do it faster than like a team of 20 armed robbers could have a decade
Oh,
ago.
absolutely.
So, Learner, if you're listening, we are going to unpack the terrifying new era of machine speed crime. We've got this massive stack of research in front of us
Yeah,
today.
it's a lot.
It's a ton, and it's anchored by a really comprehensive report. It's called Machine Speed Crime: How Bots, AI, and Drones Are Expanding the Financial Threat Landscape.
A very light read.
Right, super light. But I want to set expectations right out of the gate here. This is not it's not some sci-fi prediction about a dystopian future.
No, far from it.
Yeah.
We are dissecting the operational reality of cybercrime right now, like today.
Yeah.
This report really highlights how automation, connectivity, and autonomy have just completely converged.
Inversion in a bad way.
Exactly. This convergence allows this incredibly tiny number of threat actors to act against exponentially more targets, and they do it faster and with, far less direct exposure than at any point in history.
Okay, let's unpack this because we are talking about a pretty mind-bending shift here, right? From traditional manual crime to something that operates basically at the speed of computing logic.
But before we go too far down the rabbit hole, I think we need to establish a foundational baseline for this analysis.
Makes sense.
Bots, autonomous systems, drones, they all have extensive, vital, completely legitimate uses.
Sure, like package delivery or something.
Modern logistics, agriculture, software development, they all rely on them constantly. So the risk we're evaluating today only emerges when that underlying technology.
Which is neutral?
Exactly. It's entirely agnostic. The risk is when it's deliberately redirected toward fraud or disruption, surveillance, or, criminal logistics.
Okay, so to understand that redirected technology, I feel like we have to start at the absolute execution layer, right? We have to talk about bots
Yes, bots are the baseline.
and how they fuel this whole idea of cybercrime as a service. Because it used to be that running a sophisticated digital attack required serious technical chops.
You had to be a real hacker.
Right. But today it's this massive shadow economy. They have modular pricing, service level agreements. I even read they have help desks.
Oh, yeah, 2047 customer support for criminals.
That is wild. So criminals just rent access to proxy infrastructure, custom malware, and these prepackaged lists of stolen credentials. And the bots just provide the sheer computing horsepower to execute it all.
Because it's at a scale humans simply cannot match. And that scale is what changes the threat model entirely.
How big are we talking?
We'll look at the ANISA 2025 threat data set from the report.
Okay.
They identify botnets in about 9.9% of all observed initial infection vectors.
Wow, almost 10%.
Yeah. And then distributed denial of service attacks, or DDoS. That accounted for 76.7% of recorded incident types.
Okay, wait, I want to pause on that massive 76.7% figure because, I mean, a DDoS attack isn't usually the actual heist, is it?
No, it's not.
It's often just a resource-draining smokescreen, right?
Precisely the point. Attackers blast a company's external firewalls with just absolute garbage traffic.
Just to overwhelm them.
To overwhelm the network bandwidth and basically trigger every single alarm in the security operations center at once.
So everyone is panicking.
Exactly. While the entire defense team is scrambling to just keep the website online, the attackers use that distraction. They quietly exploit a vulnerability on an entirely different port and, exfiltrate the customer database. The bot-driven noise completely masks the targeted signal.
Man. So criminals use these application bots to just hammer at the front door.
Yeah, that's one type of bot.
Right. They interact with web APIs, testing millions of stolen username and password pairs, or hoarding limited inventory to scalp it later. But if a single IP address tries to log in a million times a second, wouldn't any basic firewall just block it instantly?
It would, which is why they get around that by using massive geographic and network diversity.
Which means what exactly?
That brings us to the underlying infrastructure, which are botnets. That's the second category here.
Okay, botnets.
To avoid those IP bans, they route their traffic through hundreds of thousands of compromised devices. And we aren't just talking about hijacked desktop PCs anymore.
Because modern corporate and personal PCs usually have some form of endpoint detection running on them, right? Like antivirus on steroids.
EDR. So the attackers adapted. they shifted their focus to the Internet of Things, the IoT.
Oh, no. Like smart home stuff.
Exactly. They hijack internet routers, smart cameras, connected appliances. I mean, your smart refrigerator doesn't run CrowdStrike or Windows Defender.
No, it definitely doesn't.
So once they harness that distributed IoT bandwidth, they have the perfect camouflage to run their application bots.
Because the traffic looks like it's coming from a million different suburban homes.
Yes. And then, when they successfully steal an account, they move to the third category, social bots. They use these on online platforms to imitate real human engagement and distribute fraudulent links to the victim's friends.
And to manage all those fake interactions at scale, they must need something more advanced, right?
That's the fourth piece. They layer in AI-enabled agents to parse the responses and keep the scam going.
It's literally an entire automated supply chain.
It really is.
You know, when I read how the initial application bots operate, especially with credential stuffing, I had this really vivid image.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's like a criminal hiring a million invisible interns to rattle every single doorknob in a massive city simultaneously, just to see which ones happen to be unlocked.
That analogy captures the mechanics perfectly.
But wait, if they're just testing passwords on a login screen, or testing a credit card on a checkout page, they aren't even really hacking in the traditional sense, are they?
Not really, no.
Like, there's no SQL injection or fancy zero-day exploit happening there. They're literally just using the website's API exactly as it was designed to be used.
What's fascinating here is that you've hit on the exact reason this API abuse is so difficult to mitigate.
Because it looks normal.
Right.
A software vulnerability. They just exploit completely legitimate application functions at an abusive volume.
And credential stuffing relies on the human flaw that people reuse passwords across different platforms, right?
Exactly. To the CERTer, a single request from a bot in a residential proxy network.
Like a hijacked smart fridge.
Yes. It looks like a perfectly valid login attempt from a real customer.
So the fraud only becomes visible through the velocity and the mathematical coordination of the requests.
Exactly.
Standard vulnerability management, like patching your servers, won't stop someone from just typing a stolen password into the correct box really fast.
Which is why defenders historically relied on creating structural friction.
Friction? Like what?
Well, if a company changed the underlying code of the doorknob, keeping with your analogy, say altering the CSS selectors or the hidden layout of their login page, the bot would fail.
Because it wouldn't know where to click anymore.
Right. Legacy bots were incredibly fast, but they were brittle. They operated on rigid scripts.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Because this is where artificial intelligence steps in and completely solves that brittleness problem for the attackers.
It does.
AI fundamentally changes the economics of this whole shadow industry.
AI introduces real-time variability. So instead of a rigid script that breaks when a web element moves 2 pixels to the left, modern criminal systems use computer vision.
Wait, they can actually see the screen.
Basically, yeah. They use semantic understanding to adapt on the fly. They can generate credible account histories, classify the responses they get from a server, and dynamically select their next action based on the payload they receive.
The report mentions that phishing operations can now produce perfectly localized messages for different customer groups instantly.
Oh, the localization is incredible.
We're at a point where criminal syndicates are providing better localized customer service and grammar in their phishing emails than some legitimate telecom companies provide to their actual customers.
It's dark, but it's very true.
I mean, it's crazy.
The technological marvel is impressive. But we really have to focus on the business logic here.
Okay, the business logic.
The most important metric in any operation, legitimate or criminal, is cost.
Right.
Personalization, translation, autonomous decision making.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is now incredibly cheap and endlessly scalable thanks to AI.
It's a massive cost-cutting tool for them.
Criminal enterprises can now automate the entire top of the fraud funnel. They deploy highly tailored attacks across millions of targets.
And then what?
Then they reserve their actual human operators, you know, the expensive part of the syndicate, only for the accounts that show the absolute highest potential payout.
Like negotiating a final wire transfer or something.
Precisely. AI lowers the barrier to entry so drastically that you no longer need a massive team to run a global fraud campaign.
Okay, so bots and AI give criminals infinite, cheap digital scale.
Yes.
But what happens when the target isn't connected to the public internet? What happens when the target is an air-gapped server in a secure facility or a physical asset behind a massive fence?
Ugh.
A bot can't cross a physical perimeter.
No, it can't.
So that's where the threat landscape completely changes shape, right? Moving from code to physical hardware, we need to talk about drones.
Drones extend digital risk directly into physical space. It's a game changer.
Yeah.
They create a very different but intimately related form of exposure. And to understand the threat, we have to evaluate drones through two distinct lenses.
Okay, what are they?
First, as vulnerable assets, and second, as access mechanisms.
Okay, let's start with drones as vulnerable assets, because people tend to think of commercial drones as just like flying cameras.
Yeah, remote control toys.
Right. But they are fully integrated IoT devices.
They are flying computers streaming massive amounts of data. They have advanced sensors, local storage, complex cloud integrations.
So they have an operating system.
Exactly. And because of that architecture, they present a huge attack surface.
I saw CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, they actually issued specific warnings about this, right?
Yes, they did. About drone software creating severe data pipelines for espionage.
That's terrifying.
We are talking about unencrypted telemetry data streaming over local Wi-Fi, weak firmware, and interceptable radio frequency links.
So if a legitimate company is using a drone to survey their own pipeline or like a secure facility, a criminal could intercept that data feed.
Very easily, yes.
And gain a perfect high-resolution site map of the infrastructure without ever setting foot there.
Exactly. The risk.
Yeah.
And then the flip side of that is criminals using their own drones as the access mechanism.
Lens number two.
Right. They provide surveillance without the criminal ever needing physical proximity to a protected area.
Europol and Interpol have documented a lot of this, haven't they?
Extensive criminal use.
Yeah.
For monitoring access controls, inspecting facilities, and even active smuggling around prisons and borders.
The crucial takeaway for you listening here, learner, is that the drone itself is rarely the final exploit. It is the bridge. It's flying a Wi-Fi pineapple onto a corporate roof to bridge an air-gapped network, or dropping a payload near a loading dock.
The drone merely solves the logistics of proximity. That's all it's doing.
Okay, I have to stop you there and challenge this a bit.
Go for it.
Because when we talk about autonomous flying threats, the cultural narrative immediately jumps to those sci-fi drone swarms.
Oh, killer robots.
Exactly. Facial recognition-powered killer robots. But from a purely logistical standpoint, commercial drones have, what, 20-minute battery lives?
Roughly, yeah.
They sound like angry weed whackers, and they are heavily restricted by aviation geofencing.
Are criminals really organizing massive synchronized swarms, or is that just Hollywood?
If we connect this to the bigger picture of actual criminal logistics, we have to advocate for a much more grounded risk assessment.
So no swarms?
I mean, claims about AI-selected drone swarms definitely attract media clicks, but capability does not equal widespread adoption.
Right. Criminals are businesses. They care about reliability and, most importantly, staying off the radar of federal aviation authorities.
They want low friction and high ROI, not a Michael Bay movie scene.
Precisely. Exaggerating the sci-fi scenarios diverts defensive resources away from the actual immediate threats.
Which are what?
The realistic risks are highly damaging, but much quieter. Unauthorized surveillance, intercepting corporate data streams, smuggling contraband, and mapping out a site's operational schedule to support a later physical intrusion.
So we've outlined a landscape where bots and AI provide digital scale, and drones provide physical reach.
Yes.
The obvious question is, why are massive, well-funded corporate security teams struggling to stop this?
It's a great question.
The text points to a fascinating structural flaw. It's because the attacks span multiple domains simultaneously, but corporate defenses are entirely siloed.
That organizational friction is the exact vulnerability criminals exploit.
Awesome.
Well, bots affect the entire life cycle of the financial journey.
Yeah.
They acquire credentials, they open fraudulent mule accounts, they initiate transactions.
Right.
They also pollute a business's core analytics, making it incredibly hard for risk engines to identify what genuine customer behavior even looks like.
So the data is just junk.
Exactly. Look back at the Anessa dataset, focusing on the finance sector. Hacktivist-led DDoS accounted for 83.5% of recorded incidents there.
The sheer volume of noise in the cyber domain just completely masks the intent.
Yes.
And the physical side feeds directly into the digital side, doesn't it?
It does. Drone smuggling, whether moving narcotics, weapons, or cash, generates physical proceeds.
And those physical proceeds eventually have to be digitized, transferred, and laundered through the traditional financial system.
The core issue is that the evidence for this sprawling activity sits in completely isolated databases. And those are owned by different teams who rarely share timelines.
It's like the classic parable of the blind man and the elephant.
Oh, that's perfect.
The cybersecurity team is holding the tail and saying, we have an automated traffic anomaly.
Right.
The fraud team is holding the trunk saying, we have a card testing problem. And physical security is holding a leg saying, we have an unauthorized aircraft hovering near the loading dock.
Yes.
And none of them realize they are dealing with the exact same anomaly.
Exactly. Without entity resolution, they never see the complete sequence. A combined investigation reveals patterns no single team could identify in isolation.
Give me an example of that.
Okay, for instance, if physical security logs repeated unauthorized drone telemetry over a data center.
Okay.
And cybersecurity logs network reconnaissance probing that exact facility's IP range at the exact same time.
Oh, I see.
That combination equals a highly targeted multi-domain access attempt.
But the ultimate victim, let's say a major retail bank, may never even see the bot traffic or the drone. They just see the very end of the kill chain.
It's the cash out.
The resulting payment, the mule account, and the rapid movement of funds.
Which underscores why shared timelines are absolutely critical. Anti-money laundering teams, fraud analysts, and cybersecurity operations must integrate their telemetry.
To connect the initial access mechanism with the ultimate financial outcome.
Precisely.
Well, we've painted a fairly intimidating picture of this complex landscape.
It is pretty daunting.
Let's pivot and equip the listener with some structural solutions. How do organizations actually build a resilient defense architecture against a threat that is this interconnected? Let's start with anti-bot controls.
Okay, well, effective bot management requires abandoning the binary block or allow mindset.
It's not just a firewall rule anymore.
No, defense must operate across multiple layers simultaneously. You need network replication checks at the edge, identity-bound rate limits within the application itself, and behavioral transaction monitoring in the core business layer.
The report specifically highlights passkeys and phishing-resistant multi-factor authentication.
Huge advancements.
By transitioning to public key cryptography and removing the shared secret of a password, you drastically devalue the millions of stolen credentials the botnets rely on, right?
And completely. Implementing those standards breaks the economic model of credential stuffing. It's also critical to note that no single CAPI-TCHA or simple firewall rule is sufficient anymore.
But wait, wouldn't the instinct for a security team just be to block all non-human traffic entirely?
That is a very common instinct, and it is a catastrophic mistake.
Right, because modern business relies on API traffic.
Exactly.
If you block everything non-human, you break search engine indexing, you break partner integrations, and vital accessibility services for users navigating with screen readers.
So it requires deep behavioral intelligence. Security engines must analyze interaction context to distinguish legitimate enterprise automation from abusive velocity.
Makes sense. Okay, what about drone controls? How do you secure an environment against a mobile flying access mechanism?
The paradigm shift here is treating commercial drones as enterprise-connected endpoints.
Just like a laptop.
Yes. Organizations need a strict inventory of their authorized aircraft, the cloud services those drones connect to, and the specific routing of their data flows.
The report insists they need to be treated with network segmentation.
That's really essential.
You don't let a drone's control station connect directly to the Active Directory server. You disable unnecessary wireless connectivity and strictly minimize and encrypt any sensitive telemetry or imagery they capture.
Furthermore, for critical facilities facing external drone risks from threat actors, physical security teams have to baseline what normal radio frequency activity looks like in their airspace.
Baseline it so they know when something weird is flying around.
Exactly. Because actively jamming or kinetically taking down a drone is heavily restricted by federal communications and aviation laws.
You can't just shoot it down.
No, you cannot. So facilities must establish proactive coordination protocols with local law enforcement.
Got it. Finally, we have to touch on AI governance. As organizations deploy their own massive AI models to analyze data and defend their networks faster, what are the internal guardrails?
Governance requires explicitly defining what your autonomous systems are actually authorized to execute.
What they can and can't do.
Right. High-impact, irreversible actions, like authorizing large payments, modifying access controls, or changing core infrastructure configurations, those must never depend solely on an opaque AI model.
So no fully autonomous robots running the bank?
Definitely not.
Yeah.
There must be independent, human-in-the-loop verification controls.
So what does this all mean? When I review this entire defense architecture, it sounds like security is no longer about building a taller digital wall.
A wall is static.
Right. Security today is about behavioral intelligence. It's about introducing smart friction that disrupts the automated tooling of the attacker while remaining invisible to your genuine human customers.
This raises an important question, however, regarding third-party supply chain governance.
How's the vendors?
Yes. Organizations must recognize that their vendors' bot management platforms, their logistics partners' drone cloud services, and the external AI APIs they license are now permanent extensions of their own attack surface.
That's a scary thought.
You are only as secure as the automated systems you grant access to.
It is an interconnected web of trust and risk.
Truly.
To wrap this all up for you, listening learner, the core takeaway from today's deep dive is a fundamental change in both scale and reach. Automation and AI provide criminal syndicates with unprecedented digital scale, drastically lowering the cost of execution.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, mobility through drones gives them unprecedented physical reach, completely bypassing traditional perimeter security.
The fences don't matter as much.
Right. And to defend against this, financial crime defense must connect the dots across domains. You have to connect the digital anomaly, the physical enabler, and the movement of money long before it crystallizes into a machine-assisted laundering chain.
The organizational silos must be dismantled. The digital domain and the physical domain are permanently fused in the modern threat landscape.
And I want to leave you with a thought to mull over. As we unpack this research, I kept coming back to the future of consumer identity.
Well, this is an interesting angle.
Yeah. If criminal syndicates are using highly adaptable AI agents to attack infrastructure at scale, and global banks are deploying their own massive AI agents to defend those networks at scale, how long until you and I need our own personal AI agents just to safely navigate the internet?
Wow.
Just picture a near future where your browser's AI agent has to negotiate a complex encrypted handshake with your bank's AI agent just to prove you are a human who wants to pay a mortgage.
Fighting fire with fire.
Right. Are we rapidly heading toward a financial system where machines are the primary entities actually communicating, constantly negotiating our security and identity in the background while we just watch?
That's certainly possible.
It is a wild, complex thought. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the evolving digital and physical world around you. Remember, the threat landscape might be muddy, but by asking the right questions, we uncover the mechanics beneath it all. Until next time.